Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Summer News Show. My name is Alisa.
Hello.
Hey, there we go. We got you back. All right.
Oh, my God. Did you hear what I said?
No.
I said, and my name is, hey, I'm glad you're back. My name is Liz. So, yeah, we didn't have you for a couple of shows. You were going through issues with your voice. I'm glad it's back.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit what you think that was. Tell us a little bit about that, because we didn't really know since.
I mean, honestly, for me, I think it's definitely a combination of this pollen, which has been incredibly high.
Right.
But I also think it was just a good time for me to rest. And I know I tend to be fairly quiet, but to really listen and rest and then do a little bit of writing. I mean, I haven't been writing every day, but there was a period there where I wrote for like an hour waiting for my aunt. So that was really good.
That's a breakthrough. That's a breakthrough.
So
that's
was,
amazing.
That was good,
good
stuff. That was good stuff. And
good girl.
And it's, so now I'm just, I really am just taking it easy and being more mindful with when I do ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Even last night I had dinner with some friends at their house, and we usually do numerology readings, and even they were very mindful. Like, we weren't there all night, which was good because my voice was starting to go. So this, you know, it's
paying
definitely
attention.
Getting better, but
mm-hmm.
Knowing when to take care of myself has been really good. So I've looked at it, definitely. I mean, it's been a bit of an inconvenience, but overall it hasn't been bad. I mean, I've taken advantage of that, and it just makes me consider, you know, what is really worth saying, where can it be written down instead, where it's probably a little easier for me, and then when to listen. Now, and I do want to say, we do have a hand raised, so I do want to acknowledge the caller, and we'll get to the caller in a moment. But this past weekend, I had a very busy weekend, both for my work with a lot of different tours happening, which I did not assign myself to, and then I had a conference that I had signed up to participate in and to help co-present. But it's one where it was with my old fraternity, and so with that comes all the memories of doing these kinds of things and always being exhausted.
And obligated.
Right. So the difference here is that we had our one presentation to do. Of course, it's better to, you know, to have participated in other aspects, but some of the things they were doing were outside. So I'm like, nope, not going to go outside. And subject myself to all the stuff that's in the air. You know, we were still really tired. We did a lot of things, not necessarily related to the conference. And I knew that I couldn't be as involved because that would involve talking, and I didn't need to be talking all day. So, and people could tell, even people who didn't know me could tell my voice was a little rough.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I just, there were no explanations needed. I just, I sat apart from everybody else when I needed to. I rested when I needed to. And it was really nice. And I got the rest I needed. So to navigate something that was so old hat for me and to approach it very differently was nice to do. Because now I know if I wanted to do this again, and participate. I know, not like I have to get sick to justify not doing all the stuff, you know, that people expect me to do. But it was just a nice way to see, yes, I could still have a good time and contribute, but not to the level that I felt obligated to do. And I felt like, you know, what I had to do to get through that conference, not like it was a trial, but but just an adjustment on my part, because I physically didn't want to be there any longer than I needed to.
Right, of course.
And then just knowing when to take care of myself and to enjoy some stuff. Like, you know, we had gone out afterwards and we had some friends in town, so that was nice. And then when it was time for me to go home, I'm like, listen, I need to go home. And they're like, oh, that's fine, that's fine. So I did a little bit of stuff that was I don't normally do. Both probably a bit in excess and then a bit like, wow, I'm really reining back a lot of stuff that I would normally do. So it was a nice contrast. And then, of course, you know, Sunday I just pretty much slept all day and rested. And just easing back into this week and looking at, you know, how do I want to spend my time and what other things do I actually need to be doing for myself. So this was a very nice, I would say, last, you know, week and a half of just taking time for myself. And I would say not talking as much, but also meant not talking myself in and out of things either.
Yes. There you go.
You know? So yeah, I was just, well, I'm going to rest and do this and I'll be quiet.
Rest that mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That, the fact that you're writing. So we'll circle back to that. That's amazing. And let's take this call.
Okay. Here we go. This is area code 412. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Jessica. How are you?
Hey, Jessica.
I'm not
Hi.
Quite hearing her. What's there? I feel like the connection's off.
Hi, are you there?
We're there. You sound.
Hello?
Do you have us on speaker?
You no longer. You did, but no, I'm not.
Okay, that's a lot better. So,
yeah.
Okay, so let me get the database up because I'm sure that's probably why you called.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm ready when you guys are to pull a message.
Okay, so, I moved 2 weeks ago and I'm really happy. But I moved with every in the air, like everything in my life is not settled, even remotely, from even money and job to finalizing some court stuff. And I just wanted a generalized to see where things were.
Mm.
And there's two big court things coming up, one in April and one in June, that hopefully should resolve a lot of issues, if not all.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, before we pull that message, definitely anytime people move, that's a huge transition. So it's understandable that there are a lot of things that are up in the air and it just takes a moment to get settled. So, I feel you on that one. That's a big transition. And then
yeah,
already
unfortunately, I had to move without a job.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot going on there. Well, tell you what, I mean, that's a lot to kind of unravel in
right.
one show, but let's pull that message. So we'll play some music and then just wait a few minutes or seconds. You say the word pick and we'll get that message. So hold on just a minute.
Pick.
Okay. So the number associated with this message is 813. And this is the message. State your message without explanation or justification. Know your energy is complete and speaks for itself, not needing to be buried in doubt. Well, that's very interesting, especially if you're just talking about like a court situation. The truth will set you free. Without
right.
over-explanation, justification. Could also mean defensiveless, defensive. Being defensive means you're attacking. And I think to be very clear in the truth, be very clear that you have nothing to hide. The other part of this message is know your energy is complete and speaks for itself, not needing to be buried in doubt. So that's where the challenge comes. In things being up in the air, they're always up in the air. Just when we think everything's settled, a whole bunch of other things happen. that's nature. That's the flow of the universe. So to accept that, to claim that you have nothing, if you can unabashedly say to yourself, I have nothing to hide. Can you say that with complete confidence? I have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So, and when I had to go before a judge, and it wasn't a trial, but it was a mandatory time with the judge, with my ex, when the divorce papers were in process. So that was part of it, because we had a child that was under 18, so that's mandated, at least in New York. I wasn't worried about a damn thing. And I just was very mindful of being present, of connecting with the judge as another human being, not being anyone but myself, but very respectful of the situation. So it was almost like I was dressed for a job interview. Just neutral. No need to be nervous. Put it in source's hands. I have nothing to hide. And as terrifying as all of that process was, I got through it. I'm also getting
okay.
That whoever the other party is, that the best statement you can make is by, and I don't know what's going on, you don't have to tell me, I just read the energy. The story is not so relevant in terms of the energy. The more that you can not engage, but engage with the documentation and being prepared, that's within your realm of action, of mindful, focused action. So I don't know if there have been piles of papers that you've been sort of putting to the side because it seems insurmountable. I don't know where you are with that. But whatever due diligence needs to happen, it's almost like pretend you're a paralegal, meaning get that stuff together if it's not, or double check it to make sure it's together, and just keep telling yourself, I have nothing to hide. The truth sets me free.
Okay.
And if you tap into that default setting as opposed to, I don't know, and I just moved, and da-da-da, if you felt or feel, rather, that moving was the thing that you need for your ascension, if you're running towards something as opposed to running away, for instance.
I'm definitely running toward.
Good. And I'm glad that you were so confident with that.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely running toward, and it's all blind faith, and I know it's all going to work out.
Well, then don't cancel that out with the doubt.
And I just want a little resolution in one or two aspects of my life to feel a little more grounded.
But you're asking for something outside of yourself to make you feel better on the
okay.
inside. It's not blind faith. Blind faith is sort of diminishing what that means. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Sometimes if it's let's change blind faith to pure faith. So blind
okay.
faith is just not seeing what's going on. Pure faith is that doesn't even come into it.
I would say pure faith is more the everything that I've been operating on.
Well, keep on with that. So you want resolution. I think you want assurance.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But what is really sure in this life?
Nothing.
Except for this very second.
Nothing.
Right. So if you just... Martin Luther King has this great quote, like, I don't know, I'm not quoting it at all, but it's like, I don't have to see the staircase in order to take the first step.
Oh, that's a great quote.
Right?
Right.
Take that first first step. And if you, survival tactic for people in very extreme situations, and I'm not saying you're in an extreme situation, but to borrow from that wisdom 10 minutes at a time. So I am, is it possible for me to function for the next 10 minutes? That's a no-brainer. Of course it is. So life is just units of 10 minutes strung together. I do feel that there's that whatever, I don't know, am I on the right track with the energy of like there's things that you could put in better order?
Yes.
Then that's what you
yeah,
need
I
to do.
Yeah, I just moved and I have like literally 20 case files where I have the stuff. I just, yeah,
well,
I have a
guess
lot.
What? That's what you need to do. You want the resolution? It's not that. It's you're feeling uncomfortable about this because that's how you're getting your attention. Your higher self is getting your attention. That's why you called this show, because maybe you have to hear, get your papers together.
Yeah.
And I'm going to flip this over to Elisa to see the insight that she has to offer. It's going to be okay, but you got to do your part.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I love how Liz just kind of broke it down for you. With that feeling of overwhelm, it can be a little, well, paralyzing sometimes. You just kind of get stuck in that loop. So to break it down and say, well, you know, I can do these things. I can take this folder or whatever it is, just break it down and say, okay, I can start on this. And you're taking that next step. And it may seem like a slow step, but a necessary step. And even a number sequence from that message, it's 813. And the one in the middle is you. So this is about you, and the numbers are on the other side of it, on either side, the 8 and the 3 are meant to help support you. The 8 is about power and manifesting and reaching goals and just being very steady with the bigger picture. And so that's to keep in mind. That's what, you know, that's sort of like what you're taking in is a big picture. But it's like, wow, it's such a big picture. And it's a little messy for me right now. So, and that 3 is also saying, yeah, there's a lot of energy around here, around this whole situation. 3 is also about expression and communication. So you put those numbers together, and it's still about managing this energy of the move of transition. And so anything you can do to ground that a little bit, just say, all right, like Liz said, in this 10-minute period, you know, what can I do to help myself? And it may not be a lot of doing, honestly. Every 10 minutes may be about just sitting still for a moment and catching your breath and just getting a little more centered. Or, you know, I like talking about meditation. Liz likes talking about meditation. It doesn't have to be anything like formal, lighting candles and whatever, but it is about just sitting still. Sometimes sitting still for even 5 minutes can make a huge difference. And just breathe, you know, and just say, all right, I got this. And just be very present so that when that 5 minutes or 10 minutes is up, you start looking at, okay, I'm going to just do this one thing. And you take it every step at a time, because that's really what you got to work with. You know, it's not like magical elves are going to come out and do all the stuff for you. it's knowing that I can do this, and I'll do what I can, and then I'll take a little break, and I'll rest my mind, which I was just talking about earlier on the show about not only resting my voice but resting my mind, because you will get through it. You know, either you get through it and it's as graceful as it can be, or you get through it but you've been kicking and screaming. But at some point, you're going to get through it.
Right.
And if you have any bit of control over what your choices are, then I think you would definitely choose, like, well, let's just not make it crazy. Let's just do this, like, what you have to do, whatever that first step is. And it won't be a wrong first step, because you're just taking the first step. You just do it. Everything becomes clearer after that first step, because you're in motion already.
Okay.
You know, just get it going. At your own pace. And
thank
then the bigger questions that will come up will be of a different nature than this urgency of trying to figure it all out. You'll know what you need to do. and that all that strings together to be like, oh, and that was how I got through it. That was how I solved this and this and this, and I didn't lose my mind. You can do it. I mean, and you have been able to do it, but now you're aware that you can do this.
Oh, it's, you know, a lot of my thing is dealing with my ex, who is very mean and vindictive and spiteful, and just trying to get through this ugly process without letting him, you know, affect me as least as possible, because he is
right.
So, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When this is challenging, but when you can release the sting of those words, mean, ugly, vindictive, whatever you just said, angry, vindictive, when that can be neutralized, because that's still engaging with his energy, even describing him that way. There are lots of
like while we were on the while we've been on this call, he sent me 3 messages.
So?
And he's just...
So?
He just...
Block
lit,
him.
Yeah.
So? Mean, angry, vindictive. Now, this is somebody talking from experience, okay? And it's just this month. And I was married to this man for 100 years. And it's just this month that I'm beginning to feel a little bit of peace. The divorce will be final in June. It will be a year that it's final this June. So it's been a hell of a year,
right?
And it's just this month that I can say confidently, everything started to shift within myself, and it's reflected in my household with my 2 kids that are both young men, almost 14 and one who's 20. So these are
you're the
kids.
Same age as me. Yeah, you're like in my age group.
Right. And when I was able to very easily, effortlessly say, well, I chose that. I no longer choose that. I own my part of it. I'm not even angry. Because
I could
done.
Say that I'm definitely relieved, and the move has really shifted everything.
But,
and I'm so.
But that's
yeah,
good.
Like.
But
the,
when,
the,
but
the,
when
the
you're
move,
saying that you're describing him, don't gloss this over. When you are describing him, you're keeping that charge and that cord of that relationship alive. You're still in a relationship with him. In the way I was, even after the fact, anytime I would engage with him, and it would blow up in my face, and I was devastated, or angry, or rageful, or depressed, or whatever you want to call it. Even post-divorce, I had to cease complete communication. So whether you got 3 messages or not, okay. Take a breath.
He's just trying. Yeah,
take
I mean,
breath.
It's the trying to control my actions and what
but
I do
he,
with
but he
children.
Can he? Yes or no? Can your actions be controlled by somebody
no.
else? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Nope.
Okay, well then,
no.
What's the problem? Take a breath.
Right. Okay.
And the metaphor that I used was that I'm in a jungle. There's a lot of stuff in my way. I'm gonna take my time step by step, and I'm going to clear my path with my energetic machete. That's what you're doing right now. You're clearing your path, and I think a core issue that many of us have in similar situations is the core truth that you have value, and that's up
yeah.
to nobody else but within yourself. You have enough value to get your papers together. Not to neglect that. You have enough value to take your damn time. You have value.
Okay.
And maybe you don't know what that feels like. I certainly didn't until very damn recently. And that actually surprises some people who've known me for a long time. But at the innermost core, your most private self, at that level, if there is no perceived value or acknowledgement that you have every right to take your time in this life, the chaos and the BS and the people and the situations are going to keep lining up to show you, to nudge you, albeit painfully, the direction that you're destined to move towards. Doesn't mean the pain and the BS doesn't go away. It's how you gingerly and elegantly navigate and what you choose to engage with in terms of actions and experience and whom you choose to not engage with. That's it. You have nothing to hide. Let him leave messages. He knows how to push your buttons. And guess what? It's working.
Yeah, he does.
There you go. But if you can identify that, we just cut that charge in half just by you saying, yeah, he does. Do you see how that's powerful?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then, what's the problem? There's no problem.
Sometimes I just need to be reminded.
Well, we're reminding you right now. What's the problem?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Right.
What's the problem?
There is
There's
none.
No problem. You just got to put your big girl pants on and just get your papers together, have that faith, and surrender. And own your part in it. I chose this. And when that was very powerful for me to say that. And it's amazing how the shift in my household with my kids completely shifted. Miraculously. So I know that that's the path I have to take, the path of ownership. It's not guilt. It's not bitterness. It used to be resentment, anger. It was all of those things, all those things to keep me from owning it and knowing what my choices are and how this person serves a purpose in my life. And the contract is up. The kids are old enough to choose what they want to do with their dad, and I respect and support that relationship, and I can manage on my own. And all I see is that first step. I don't see the staircase. It's shrouded in darkness, but that's okay. With every step I take, it gets slightly more illuminated. And I'm not saying it's not frightening. It's frightening AF. But you work through that. That's being human. And you navigate 10 minutes at a time. But there's no problem. That's just keeping you from doing what you need to do as a mature adult.
Okay.
That's it. Lisa,
thank you.
Elisa, anything that you want to add to that? Because I think I'm done.
No, I think you just like really taking in what's being said. I mean, it's probably stuff that you've heard before in some other way, but really taking it in because, you know, you're not going to solve it all in one go. You know, it's like little bits that may fall together, but it's a practice. It's a practice to not lose your cool every time, you know, he sends you a message. It's a practice to respond in a way that's of a higher vibration so that you don't attract more of it, you know?
Right.
It's like this little dance you have to figure out. And that's exactly what Liz had to do. It's what everyone has to do when they have to deal with, you know, with their ex, and just knowing that, you know, you in some ways you're done, but in other ways you still have to untangle some stuff, and you're ready to do it, but you can't, like, you know, at least you could just wave a wand and it all be done, and you're done. But that's not really what some of the lessons are. You know, some of it's remembering that you're worth it, that you're valuable, you know, that your voice is important. So there's all these little things that come in, and it's just a reminder. So, you know, you take care of you, and you will figure out ways to handle what comes at you to the point where those are not the things that are coming at you. You know, like down the road, you'll be looking at things that are coming at you, and you're like, oh, I wanted that. Yeah, that's cool. I want that. But it's not about what's outside of you. It's going to be what's coming from inside of you. that you've already had, but maybe you never had to use. And I think that's going to be what's going to be the beautiful and surprising part of finding your own inner strength again and actually using it. So good luck to you. It's in there.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. How do you feel now? Take a breath. Take a breath. Let drop
good.
In. How do you feel?
I feel really good.
Yay.
You know, I do. I feel really, really good. So thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah. Our pleasure. And just let that drop in. Like, we tend to, like, rush through the progress and that, like, it's a detail. It's not a detail. It's transformative.
Right.
So take your time. Let that really acclimate in your energetic field. And you're fine. And the energy feels very clear right now. I feel like we cleared a whole bunch of stuff for you.
I think you did too.
Yeah, girl.
Mm-hmm. I really do. I think that I know that the truth will set me free. The truth always comes out, you know, and I've been mired in a situation where there's been a lot of false statements made,
right.
Not by me.
Right.
And I think that that's the two hearings coming up. And I think, and I do believe that the truth will, you know, the truth always comes out.
That's right.
Mm.
So be elegant about it, meaning be graceful. Respect your truth enough to honor what needs to happen. And you can do that.
Okay.
You could do that when very easily. Even if you take one case file, you said, yeah, like 20, just start with one. Maybe the most important one. I don't know. Maybe you'll be led to which one. Organize it.
Okay.
You'll probably be throwing out a lot of stuff that you don't need anymore, that you felt you needed to hold on to. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Have the shredder nearby.
Okay, I will for sure.
All right, girl. Listen, give us a call back with an update if you'd like, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Thank
sure.
you.
Bye. All right, take care. Bye. Wow.
See? Another day at the job.
Yeah.
It's like we...
Yeah.
Right, right. It's a lot.
Yeah, and it's... You know, you can feel that. You can feel that with her. But obviously, mm-hmm. you can feel it. And it's not unlike what you and Anna had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a good feeling.
It takes a long time.
You can't ignore it.
No.
I think there are aspects that we try to ignore and until we can't ignore it anymore. And that's usually what leads to these things anyway. So it's just a continuation.
Right. So people calling the show.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's how she was led. So the fact that she listened to her intuition, it will never fail you. If you know the difference mm-hmm. between intuition and impulse. And intuition
right.
is always the thing to drop down. Impulse doesn't drop down. Intuition
right.
drops down. That's the way to go. And there's something very, there's a lot of wisdom to that. And it feels different. Impulse, there's always a little thread of doubt. There's no doubt with intuition if you allow it to drop in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I have to start someplace. Let me find a corner. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Okay, some people like to start with the four corners. Well, pick a corner.
Right.
That's it. Pick a corner. So I'm glad. I'm so glad she called.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, she was waiting for a while. I know she called in early, so even before I logged in, she was already in there. So I'm like, okay, she obviously.
Oh, glad. Oh, good. Glad we took care of her.
She needed it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And even how she sounded, so
mm-hmm.
graceful at the end, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She needed that pep talk. She needed to hear it, to be reminded.
Yep. Yep. I know. I'm like a football coach. You got this. Go, 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 go. Go. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need a very unpredictable approach. You're not going to get little unicorns and rainbows from this chick. Sorry. but it's good. It's good. I have enough respect that it's like, oh no, you got this. So let's just be grown-ups for a second.
Right.
Yeah, 10 minutes at a time. We can do it. 10 minutes at a time. So there you have it. Well, that felt good.
Yeah. It felt good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
anybody
my goodness.
Else in the queue? We're just
no.
checking in. Okay, good.
Nope, we're good.
Okay,
we're
yay.
Good.
So, talk to me.
Yeah, so the writing, like I did some writing after I had my massage last week.
Mm-hmm.
While I was waiting for my aunt. And, yeah, it was just this sort of uncovering of things, of my own observations throughout my life and, like, realizing, you know, like for me growing up and to be who I am was not like, oh, I'm just going to talk about this. You know, it was understood. Like you really can't talk to anybody about, you know, not only your spirituality, but also any doubts you may have about being, you know, straight,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't even like, in those terms as a little kid.
Right, you don't know what that is.
It was this understanding of I could live in a whole different world in my mind. And that seems to make more sense to me.
And you did. And you probably
did. I
did. As I did, sure. That was a whole world out there.
Oh, I totally did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, writing about that has been really good. To really write about it, because it's stuff that's like me knowing about my dreams. Because I remember them so much, I don't always have to write them down. So this was something I had the time, and in the place where we get our massages, it's part of a chiropractic clinic, but we don't get adjustments there. We just go to get massages, and they have in their waiting room, which a lot of these waiting rooms that are a little more on the spiritual side, they kind of don't want you to be on your phone.
Right.
In the waiting room.
Right.
So I don't turn my phone off. I have a little thing like an EMF like thing that helps thwart
mm-hmm.
any of those energies. But I'm not gonna be like, oh, let me just be on my phone because I have it. I usually just turn it down on silent, and then I bring a journal with me. I usually bring something to write with. With the intention of, let me just journal. I end up like writing a list of things I need to do, but whatever has to happen. But this time,
right.
I really got into just writing and kept writing. I mean, I was writing for pretty much the entire hour.
That's amazing. That's remarkable. Let's have that drop down. That was, see, that's, it's
right.
possible, isn't it? It's
right.
possible. Tell us more about it.
I'm trying to think of what I wrote, but the process was nice in that it flowed. It flowed
mm-hmm.
from like the question, whatever question I start off with, even if I had a question,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, the unstated question is, well, what am I going to write about? And I just started writing. And it flowed. Like I said, it talked about what it was like to be me as a little kid. And so it was acknowledging that these were things that I had never really written about and just kind of kept stored in my head. But knowing that it's important to acknowledge these things. And, you know, we talk about, you know, people who have to come out and how difficult it can be. And it can be tragic in some cases.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because they feel like they don't have anywhere to turn. They're never going to be accepted. And you know, my first thing wasn't about my sexuality. It was about my spirituality, which is really,
right.
you know, it's kind of funny to think about that way. Like, well, yeah, I guess the sexuality part is like, well, whatever. That just happens. But the spirituality is, to me, so much more sacred.
Mm-hmm.
Because you probably won't find somebody who thinks in the same way you do spiritually. Like,
mm-hmm.
it would be enough. But that's a very, you know, a very interesting blend of all the influences. And for me, it was the nerdy stuff, you know. It was the astrology and the numerology. And
right.
And then just this observation, it was that coupled with the fear that I felt for my mom about, you know, religion and not being able to, she felt like she couldn't teach us religion. That's why she was very dependent on the church. And she was big about us going to Sunday school and, learning, you know, and thinking, just thinking that because my kids are going there, they are getting enough. And I'm thinking, Mom, if I told you what we did and every year, you'd be bored to tears because it was basically the
traumatized.
Same stuff.
There was some twisted nuts up in
that. Well, yeah.
Ooh.
Well, you know, and there was a time where I went to a parochial school for kindergarten only, and I lied one day about being sick because I didn't want to meet the nuns. That was like
they were so scary.
The nuns were coming. The nuns were coming the next day, and I wigged out because they scared me.
They scared,
and,
right?
And these nuns were like 1,000 years old. And
mean.
And the thing is, it wasn't even that I hung out with the nuns a lot. Obviously, it was just that it was partly, you know, pop culture.
Yeah.
And I really didn't hang out with any old people. The only old person I knew was my grandmother, and I loved her.
Right.
She didn't look anything like these nuns, you know.
Child.
So, I faked being sick, so I didn't have to go.
I love it. You're so smart.
Now kindergarten is only like a half day. It's not even a full day.
Right.
I felt a little bad about lying to my mom about it, but then I also felt the fear of hanging out with these nuns. And Lord knows what would have happened. I don't even know why the fear was so great.
Oh, because they were scary.
They were pretty scary. So. Of course, at some point mid-morning, my mom realizes I'm not sick. Ooh. And that's when I tell her. I'm like, well, you know, I just didn't want to meet the nuns.
How did she react to that?
I'm sure she rolled her eyes. I mean, I don't know. I was hoping I was looking really cute and adorable. That
I
she would have like, you know.
Yeah, I know that look. You still, girl, you still got that look down. When she does her little pinky thing on her mouth. Oh, I'm sorry.
Did I do that? Yeah.
Oh, really? Excuse me. How cute, though. Oh, my God. That's adorable.
It was, you know, it was one of those things where I really, well, think about it this way. I felt this fear of going. And so I did everything I could to not be afraid. And that meant staying at home with my mom, you know.
There you go. And so you took care of it. At 5 years old, you took care of business. It was the opposite for me. I went to public school up until junior high, which was seventh grade. Now it's middle school, but back then, back 100 years ago, it was junior high. Mm-hmm. So coming from this hippy-dippy, progressive public school, and I'm like, oh, that was a bad move, Mom. That was a real bad move. And in seventh grade, they actually made us go to a nun's funeral with open casket.
Oh, no, really?
Yes.
Ooh, no.
I'm like, that messed me up. So when that movie came out, I guess late last year, The Nun, I can't even look at the promos. No. And my friend in L.A. is the nun's agent, which is really funny. The person who plays the nun. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. Yeah, I think that's so unethical. I don't think that would happen today, but 100 years ago, that's what they used to do. Oh,
yeah.
Field trip. We're going to go to Mass. Oh, sister so-and-so. Open casket, and you see, like, this dead body with the nun habit. No, no.
Mm-mm.
That messed me up for a minute. It's clearly, I can recall that memory quite effortlessly. I haven't thought about that in a long, long time. But when you talked about that, oh, and I defected from Sunday school and all of that when I was 14, and I was a young child actor, and I booked a professional job on my own. So the way that on your own, you're five, like, nope, not doing this. 14, like, no, not doing the church thing anymore. Catch my show. We open in 4 weeks.
Right.
Hell
well,
no.
And the whole reason for bringing that up is because for something as important as it was for my mother, like this, the religion
mm-hmm.
was important for her because that was how she was taught.
Of course, as my mother was. Absolutely.
Now, it wasn't the same for my father in that my grandmother, his mother, converted to Jehovah's Witness at some point. And wasn't pushy about it with her kids because some of them did and some of them didn't.
Right.
And my dad was one of those who clearly did not. So it, on his side, the religion part wasn't a big deal. Like he wasn't traumatized by it or to the degree that he felt it was important for all the kids to do this.
Right.
My mom was the one that seemed to always convey that. And,
right.
And like I said, I always picked up on this fear from her about
mm-hmm.
doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you didn't do it right,
oh, wow.
it reflected on her and she couldn't have that. You know?
Okay,
so
Let that drop in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right there. That's
yeah.
Wow, that's the keystone of doing it right and thinking about
yeah.
it and all of that. And it's very interesting because I met this fabulous hairdresser who's first generation Filipina. I even want you and Anna to meet her because she's so fabulous. And she's only 23, 24. And she had lost her father recently. And she was living in San Francisco. And her grandmother and her mother, who were raised in the Philippines, wanted her to finish nursing school.
Yeah.
Right?
Sounds familiar.
Right?
Yeah.
Finish nursing school. Her father passed like 2 years ago. It really broke her wide open. She dropped out of nursing school, went to beauty school, and now moved to New York and is doing an apprenticeship. And she said, I feel guilty because I do what I was supposed to do. And she said, but, you know, my dad really loved his job at the post office. He worked there for 30 years. He loved his job. And I said, don't
mm-hmm.
you think your father's on the other side helping you? You just moved to New York, helping you with everything. Everything is lining up for you. And I said,
right.
Do you meditate? Do you self-medicate? Not alcohol or drugs, but there are things like CBD. There are things to ease. She has a lot of anxiety. She's like, I smoke cigarettes. I said, well, your vanity will motivate you to stop, but right now you're 23 or 24, so you think you're part of, like, the Power Rangers. So you're the pink one in the Power Rangers. Good for you. But eventually that's going to go away. So right now you can get away with that. But you're really punishing yourself. And the guilt is the most useless emotion. Your father's with you. You didn't leave your father. He's having an amazing time right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's helping you live your life. He wants you to feel that joy and that passion. And the rest of your family will lead by your energetic example. So it's like the letting down of the family, the letting down of the mother, who, of course, is a very a huge factor, especially now that she's both matriarch and patriarch.
Right.
And they're very, very close. It just reminded me of just culturally, it's just so beautiful. Just so, so, so beautiful trying to find your way as a first generation and dealing with a lot of those influences. And I thought of you a little bit. She's fabulous, fierce, amazing young woman. But there was a part of her about doing it right. There was a part of it about those cultural influences. I said, you can't control DNA and epigenetics. You can't control that. You can embrace them. That's why you're so fierce. That's why you look amazing. That's why you have this great energy. That's why you're going to look like you're 20 when you're 80. Yay. Beige don't age. Yay. Good for you. She looks like she's 12. She's gorgeous.
Right.
Right. So it was this really powerful conversation. But there's something so pure and so beautiful about the intention that you have, the intention that she has of honor. And I know when I'm in the presence of my mother, I shut down, not in a bad way, but I'm just really present with the best parts of who she is and how I can honor them. And the rest,
right,
that just gets shelved. That just gets shelved. I'm so grateful that she's still with us. And you're coming into your own in that way. That's why the voice stopped. That's why the writing started. You created that space in the only way that you knew how. And this girl is living her best life and dealing with the challenges and the fears of adjusting from being in San Francisco her whole life to now just being in New York a few months. Complete culture shock. But she's doing it. She's doing it, and she's getting what she needs. The same way that we're all getting what we need when we own up to the grace of where we are and that people follow our energetic example, even if it means by omission. Not everybody needs to know everything about who we are. Who cares? But if you're in that, the only thing that matters is just this moment. That's all that we're sure of. But if we can hold space for each other and be as real and as authentic without imposing an agenda or a philosophy, but just pure appreciation for this shared breath, isn't that enough? Do you hold a newborn baby or puppy or kitten? Are you discussing, so what are your feelings about, you know, Trump's policy? No. Isn't that enough? You look at those flowers, you look at those trees, isn't that enough? So good for you. And good for you that you did lose your voice, because now it's changed, it's shifted.
Yeah.
And the most, and I feel, and tell me if you agree or disagree, I feel that the most profound shifts are almost invisible and unnoticeable. And like you feel them after the fact. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah,
that's amazing. Stepping into your lane of truth and loving that lane. Loving that lane. Just loving it, because that's discovery of you loving yourself in a beautiful way. So why not love yourself through writing? Love yourself through being independent. Love yourself through being a single mom, managing the fear and everything that comes with it, delighting in the miracles of energy as you experience those, finding a way. And every month that the rent is paid, I'm like, okay, phew. And I'm not scared. It's like, yes, okay, we did it. Okay, got on that first step. Okay, there's another one.
Mm-hmm.
The rest is obscured. Okay, well, I'm just supposed to deal with step one and step two. I'm good with that. But like that caller, her name was Jessica, right? As we had that conversation. It's the true ownership, and it's not beating yourself up. I didn't really understand the difference between owning something and beating yourself up about something. I kind of blurred those lines. I thought they were the same thing. Like, I owned it wrong, right? Right? Because we will do that.
Right.
We will do that all day. But just to own gracefully, like, I chose that. That's okay. That's okay, because look at where I'm going now. And that's okay. There's nothing to be said. There's no guilt. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. It's managed. Manage guilt. Manage fear. Manage anxiety. But they're not running the show anymore. I'm embracing the guilt, the fear, and the anxiety. I'm embracing it. It's worth it. I don't feel them the same way. I'm not ruled by them. That's why I kept falling in the street. And I'm very confident now. I'm not going to fall anymore. I already know it. I really feel that the pattern is broken. I'm not reacting through gritted teeth, through shoulders that are up to my ear, through being rageful, fearful, mired by panic attacks. It doesn't mean that they've disappeared. They make us who we are, but owning that they're being managed and doing what you need to do to manage. So that means I stay on my medication, I'll stay on my medication. Who cares? I'm not going to have no more kids. God forbid. So, I'm really seeing it reflected in my household. It's crazy. Like, now my kids are saying love you to each other. I'm like, what?
That's great.
That's amazing. That's a miracle. So the miracle of you easing into that repose, embracing that you lost your voice. You didn't beat yourself up about it. And it's interesting because that you it happened kind of around the same time that you were sort of shifting things with eating a little bit cleaner and higher vibrancy. Well, there you go. What a way to release, and that's what we have to do. Sometimes we get sick. When I went to the film festival, my body was like, you better embrace this cold because it's not cute if you don't. So I did. Didn't stop me from doing anything, but I took my time. That was the way for me to, that was the first opportunity, see, like you, with your voice going, with me having a cold, and I never get sick, so I embrace it when the little instance of a cold, where not denying it, but that was the gateway to me taking my time. And to stumble upon embracing that value is not audacious or pretentious, but value is sacred. And it's not external value, money, accolades, how people perceive you, hits on social media. Who gives a damn? Just value. So good for you.
Yeah, I went to that conference, and we had to participate in I did sit in on some of the sessions, and each session was led, you know, usually by alums, other volunteers, sometimes there were students, and there was a lot of interaction, you know, a lot of those interaction based types of workshops. So one was to, they split us up into two groups, and we had to pitch our fraternity to people who, assuming that these people had no idea anything about it. And it was meant to be a pitch. It was interesting because the group that won, which was not our group, they did their pitch about how fun. They looked at it through like instant, through social media, and they made mention of likes, you know, oh, look, they just took this picture, 1,000 likes or whatever. And that was kind of what swayed the panel to just to say, okay, yeah, we like that pitch in terms of promoting. And I thought about it later, and it was me and some other friends who are definitely old school, like, well, likes on social media don't always translate into people in your group. Or for people who run businesses, that doesn't mean that that's your audience,
right?
That's going to buy from you or take care of your, you know, take advantage of your services.
Right.
So we didn't necessarily talk about it there right afterwards. There was no Q&A debriefing or anything like that. But it was just the way we view things is very different, because
right.
Our pitch was more about the event itself. And what you would be doing at that event, and how we would be talking about our, you know, really that presence. So I thought, well, maybe if we blended those two together, it would be perfect, you know, the event itself and then how you promote it. But I thought, yeah, this is about being connected to other people, truly, not
right.
Virtually,
authentically.
Authentically,
mm-hmm.
And it takes some thought. And you know, Hamilton is a big deal. You know, I still have not seen the show. I'm not jealous. I'm not bitter. But you know, the whole I'm not going to throw away my shot thing.
Right.
It always
right.
always resonates. You know, for everybody. And yet, I wonder if people realize that sometimes they are doing that when they don't
yep.
see that opportunity. face to face.
Right. It's the default setting, and I think we have to wrap up, but word of mouth will never be replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the most enduring social media right there. And it's really interesting to hear people with so many resources that have existed since before they were born, like the internet, the smartphone, this, that, and the other. How do you find out? Da, 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 da. And I said, well, we used to take the Pony Express to the library, covered wagon. And it's really interesting how, like, that brain connection isn't there about be your own Google. Figure that out.
Right.
Use your smartphone and be scrappy. Be scrappy. I'm thinking about, oh, my God, I'm so crazy. I'm thinking about Scooby-Doo. Scrappy-Doo? Anyway.
I was thinking about that.
How old are we? Anyway, what a great conversation. So, on that note, if you guys need to get a hold of us, I'm so glad you're back with us, baby. Get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. This particular show is back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Great conversation, great call with our caller. Thank you so much. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you, girl.
Love you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
That you like.